Not as good as the original, so we'll just not say that again. Welcome, everyone, to the November 6th episode number 67 of the worldwide simulcast of the Sane Asylum on republicbroadcasting.org and speakfreeradio.com. I'm your host, Giuseppe. Some call me the G-Man. And it is a true honor to have joining me as co-host twice a month, the king of Wednesday nights, Frederick C. Blackburn. Blackbird 9, how are you doing tonight?
Greetings, good sir. Happy Sunday. Happy November. Yeah, and happy not daylight savings time anymore.
Oh, I know. Isn't that crazy? They're trying to pass that along, but it's stuck in the corrupt houses, which is too bad. It's funny. I don't know. Up here, 90 minutes south of the District of Criminals here in Stafford County, we got the 80 yesterday, and we got hit 80 today. It's unseasonably warm and mild.
Same here, North Kakalaki in November, and it was almost 70 degrees yesterday in the mountains. Yeah, I'm up around, you know, the high country area.
Right.
It was rainy and foggy. Yeah, so you're expecting that, you know, winter chill, but it was actually just, you know, a very warm day despite being drizzly and rainy and windy.
Yep, it's something else. I guess for two more days we'll have it, then we get back to seasonal weather. And speaking of seasonal weather and getting sick, it's been amazing to me how the powers that should not be are beginning their new PSYOP, which is we need to forgive and forget about the millions that we murdered and the hundreds of millions we've maimed who will soon die from the bubonic Jew jab. And, you know, it's so funny. There was a young writer on The Atlantic who ran that up the flagpole, and then I saw another chicken-swinging gentleman trying to do the same thing on YouTube, trying to kind of a new age, we need to forgive and forget. And so it's clear that, you know, it reminded me of the Star Trek The Next Generation episode Darmok, where they came across this ship and this planet, and they absolutely could not understand the species. Their language was so abstract and allegorical that even the so-called computer, it was really a good episode. But I think that the problem we have now with these people who want us to forgive and forget is that we're not in any way speaking the same language or understanding ourselves, a la Darmok episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. So, but luckily, there's a gifted linguist from the unlikely places of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Ted the Sledge Nugent, who actually figured out the language and can speak it, Sam, if you could play this clip. The one I just sent you from BitChute? Yes.
Well, would you speak to the people who believe it is a worthwhile vaccine and it is saving lives? Are they just dead wrong? Have they been fed a line from the federal government?
Jim, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the people that went ahead and got the jab. I speak their language. I would speak to them thusly. Bah, bah, bah. They understand that.
Well, so all these millions of people that got the shots, they're just stupid?
Yep.
So can you disagree with Ted the Sledge, Frederick?
Oh, I mean, that's such a great clip from the madman himself. Yeah, this whole thing of, you know, forgive and forget. This should be a happy occasion. COVID's over. Let's not argue and bicker over who mass murdered who, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just like our Soros puppet Attorney General Josh Stein, echo, was up here in Boone this past week doing the soft sell on the Sackler. That was a chemical weapons attack against especially the Bible Belt. The Appalachian Mountains were ground zero for the Sackler family offensive, and they knew their drugs, were completely addictive. But yet they paid the doctors just to push them, and got, you know, 1 out of 10 people up here strung out on them, right? And it's like, oh, well, we got this minor settlement and we'll, you know, be able to, you know, it's a few million dollars. And it's like, how many lives were destroyed by this Maccabee, you know, Zabatean Francis poisoner, right? Because that's what these people are, is poisoners. And you go back and you look at the letter from 1489 that the Zionists reprinted in 1889 as their big battle cry, you know, saying, make your sons pharmacists and doctors so they can take away Christian lives, right? This is their battle cry. This is their mitzvahs. And so this whole, oh, let's move on and forgive and forget, it's like, you know, what they did to us after we finally proved the illegal electronic surveillance in 2006, right? It's like we flat out proved it. Oh, well, they should be treated as heroes because they stepped up and shredded the Fourth Amendment, you know, and they got telecom immunity out of it under Obama. First thing Obama did, right? So that's what they're working for, is just, oh, pardon us for, you know, not being able to kill all of you yet, right? So back to you.
Yeah, man, what a great point. And Frederick, you probably well know that during the various state lawsuits and class action suits against the Sacklers in discovery, it came out that they claimed that what they were doing, the uniqueness, why they could patent it, was because it was buffered and time release. But the reality, they figured out a synthetic opioid that was more addictive, and they never they knew it, and they never cautioned people against its use. So it absolutely was intentional murder. And you know what? The people are not going to forgive and not going to forget. And Sam, if you could cue up clip number 3. And there's a Canadian woman who put out a great little "This Is Not Over" speech, which I completely.
I'll go for it.
Why are Canadians complacent? Why don't they realize that your government is corrupt?
They don't realize our government is corrupt because they think they are free. They think right now that the mandates are over, the lockdowns are over, and that there is nothing holding them back. They are under the illusion of freedom. What they don't understand is there's still a lot of people that aren't able to work. If you were a federal government employee, you still can't work unless you're vaccinated. The post-secondary schools are still telling kids they can't come into post-secondary unless they're vaccinated, or they can't live in residence unless they're vaccinated. Tim Hortons specifically said kids couldn't go to camp this summer unless they were vaccinated. They're now starting to do away with cash. You are not a, there are several restaurants I've gone to lately that won't accept cash, even though cash is a legal tender. We are not free. We are under the illusion of free, and people are under the illusion that mandates and lockdowns are done. What they don't understand is that this is all just a dress rehearsal from what's coming up. And what's coming up is the digital convergence, bio-digital convergence, social credit system, and they're already prepping it and telling us it's coming, and people aren't listening because they're under the illusion that they're free because it hasn't affected their front doorstep yet.
When will it affect our front doorstep?
When they wake up and they no longer have money in their bank accounts, and they're told that they are in a central digitalized banking system, and they are told that they can buy bread only if they get the chip in their hand, which will complete the bio-digital convergence, and it's all over our federal government websites, and people aren't paying attention. They are telling us what's coming. Ontario.ca, which is our provincial government website, is talking about all the wonderful things digital ID is going to do for you, and more. You go all the way down to the bottom, and it says working in affiliation with the World Economic Forum. People need to understand what the World Economic Forum is, and that the Fourth Industrial Revolution is what they are advocating for. And if anybody reads that book, page 121 is super, super important. And it talks about transhumanism, and 2025 is the deadline that they all think that transhumanism is going to happen. And it all starts with the bio-digital convergence, digital ID. How convenient is that? Central digitalized banking service. How wonderful is that? We're going to find out very soon. KTDI, which is Known Traveler Digital ID.
There you go, Frederick. I mean, she's laying it out. That's why it's so important to push for accountability for this mass murdering now, to try and prevent that, because they're not giving up. That's what they're pushing, and that's their end game, don't you think?
Oh, exactly. And this is the whole thing we've been talking about for years. And it's so refreshing to see someone else connecting the dots and the reporter letting her speak. I mean, think how many times people like you and I have tried to tell reporters that type of thing, only to be shut down immediately when we go off script, right? So that's a huge shift in the Overton window. But yeah, this is the whole thing of that slime mold fourth and fifth generation strategy. It's literally silent weapons for quiet wars, where they're taking over all of these levers of power, right? And letting them operate sorta as they're designed. But when it's like the iron fist under the velvet glove of communism, right? When all the pieces are put in place, then you get the squeeze. That's when the fist comes down. And, when we see people like Klaus Schwab saying, oh, we're going to have a great reset to bring in the fourth industrial revolution, and we're going to do it in 2030. And all they have to do for the Great Reset is turn everything off and watch everyone scramble over resource. And then they can come in and say, we can restore order, but you have to do what we say. And that's when you take the chip or whatever to become part of their slime mold system. And I'm against it.
Me and you both. And Sam, if you could cue up clip number one. So this is, I believe, an Irish gentleman. It might be Scottish because I haven't listened there to. But he lays out the whole idea coming from the Atlantic magazine about this, oh, let's just forgive and forget. Mistakes were made. No, just like the Sacklers wasn't an accident.
The fog of war, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this guy gets it as well. Go ahead, please play clips one.
The Atlantic. Let's declare a pandemic amnesty. You'd like that, wouldn't you? We need to forgive one another for what we did and said when we were in the dark about COVID. I'm not going to forgive or forget anything he done and said. The elderly left to suffer alone, left to die without a loved one's touch, most of them killed by being fed remdesivir, just to get the scandemic numbers up. And what about what you done to the children? I couldn't buy toys for my 3-year-old's mental health because it was deemed non-essential. I couldn't even buy baby clothes for my baby. And you expect me to forgive and forget without justice? It's not going to happen. Well, wait a minute. You thought I was finished.
Not getting vaccines. It's time to start shaming them.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
F*** them. F*** their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
No. Screw your freedom. You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask.
We have to stop coddling the morons who will not get the shot.
Shame on you.
No, shame on you. Shame on you all. The unvaccinated should not be allowed to leave their homes. Mocking anti-vaxxers' deaths is ghoulish, yes, but necessary. Repulsive. If you aren't vaccinated and other people need an ICU bed, we should unplug you, throw you in the family station wagon and wish you luck. The White House. For the unvaccinated, you are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm. I'm still waiting. We at Whelan's Bar will be keeping up the vaccine only going forward, so for all ye anti-vax folks that think ye are getting in on the 22nd of October, go and fuck yourselves. Whenever anyone says we all die from something, or to justify not taking precautions to help protect others in this pandemic, we should be allowed to shoot them. Why are you crying? We all die from something. For you, it's that bullet in your gut. The CDC should just roll out a new program. Get the shot or get shot. The unvaccinated need to be rounded up and lined up in front of open trenches. Their choice is simple. I must let you know, your call for an amnesty is going to fall on deaf ears. We're coming for justice and accountability, whatever that may be. But ye made your bed, and I for one am going to make sure ye lie in it.
There you go, Frederick. That was, and what he didn't add is what the brilliant Dr. Lorraine Day was pointing out, that this is global communism already, because every government in lockstep, pun intended, because that was all laid out in the Rockefeller Foundation 2010 report about Operation Lockstep and creating the phony scamdemic. And she pointed out we're already under global communism because every country shut down the same way. Every country's media did the same psyops. I mean, I don't really watch TV, but I saw clips via the internet of every late night host mocking anti-vaxxers and everywhere on TV, and that scumbag talentless buffoon chicken swinger Howard Stern saying that unvaccinated should be rounded up and literally hanged or killed. I mean, the level of insanity, because they're such weak-minded, weak-willed individuals, and the cult of the magic jab is the new religion these days. And so good for that gentleman to point out we can never forgive and we can never forget. Your thoughts, BB9.
Right, and you know, just another proof of those canards and tropes in the protocols of, you know, seizing the media so you can control the message. And I think one of the most Kafkaesque experience for me, as, you know, living the dream up to 9/11, was how not only would our own media not listen to us about 9/11 truth, but every civilized nation in the world was in lockstep with the big lie of what happened, you know, according to CNN and the BBC, you know, radical Muslims with box cutters, right?
Yeah.
You know, just suspend the laws of physics. And so, you know, we saw it then. And yeah, we just can't break through this legacy media. And then with the COVID thing, to see this, you know, mandating, this authoritarian big megaphone speaker saying, you know, Goyim, you must take the clot shot Jew jab. Goyim, you must take the clot shot Jew jab 24/7 in every country. And any doctors who dared try to speak out about it were immediately given the tribal treatment and taken out, if not completely, had their careers destroyed. But it's amazing how many Goyim doctors that spoke out against, you know, the COVID mandates, et cetera, were killed in the this past 3 years.
Oh, and my so, God, you know, that's so true.
Yeah, and so you just realize, you know, how much power they have managed to grab in every Western nation. And, you know, if nothing else, COVID has really exposed that. So I think people are now like, okay, we see what they've done. Now, what do we do about it, right? But I think that, you know, the Great Awakening is upon us.
Yes, I think it is. And there's a fella that most listeners know. He operates under Alex Jones's network, named Greg Reese, and he just put out a clip the other day that I thought was very insightful, that this isn't World War III, it's World War Trans. It, Sam, if you could play clip number 8, we'll listen to a couple minutes of it. I think this fella is dead on in his analysis of World War for this despicable satanic Talmud. Rumble's a little slow. And so want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll be having this clip in just seconds. World War Trans.
The official president of the United States has warned the world they will face Armageddon if Russia uses tactical nukes in Ukraine. And when the Russian president said that the use of nuclear weapons in Ukraine is senseless, the Biden administration reversed the no first use and sole purpose policies regarding nuclear warfare, meaning that the U.S. will now consider first strike nuclear attacks against non-nuclear threats. In a surprising break from projection and gaslighting, U.S. Congressman Jamie Raskin recently explained the truth behind the current U.S. policy with Russia.
Russia is an Orthodox Christian country with traditional social values. And for that reason, it must be destroyed, no matter what the cost to us. So this is not a conventional war. This is a jihad. Jamie Raskin said that out loud. But many in Washington agree with him. In both parties, they would like to see World War Trans immediately.
On the surface, that's what this is. World War Trans. That is what the United States has become. To the rest of the world, America has become the land of abortions, castrations, death, and lies. Meanwhile, our diesel fuel is set to run out before the winter, and our leadership could care less.
What are we doing to increase the supply of diesel, given that the Energy Information Administration said as of October 14th, the U.S. only had about a 25-day supply? You have the Northeast and New York already rationing home heating oil. What are we doing to prepare for the winter and to ramp up supply of diesel?
I'll take the question on the diesel, because I just don't have the data on that in front of me. So let me take that, and we'll get back to you on that. But writ large, the president has been working very, very hard to make sure that not only are we ready for fluctuations that could come, and of course the prices are going down, and we think that's important, but that we are also doing what we can to help our European friends and partners who are also going to be facing a long, cold winter. We have doubled our commitment. The commitment he made in March for natural gas exports to Europe, we've doubled that commitment.
The president has cut off our fuel and given away our emergency reserves. Without diesel fuel, the entire nation comes to a halt. And at this point, nothing is being done to stop it.
The problem is, at this point, there may not be an answer, because there may not be a way to avoid a disaster. Diesel fuel is not just low in this country, it's low in every Western nation that has aligned itself with Ukraine. All these nations preparing for World War Trans are running out of diesel fuel.
While millions may be scratching their heads over World War Trans, too afraid to speak against it, Russian President Vladimir Putin recently explained what it's all about and how Russia has already been there. He said, after the 1917 revolution, the Bolsheviks also said that they would change existing ways and customs, and not just political and economic ones, but the very notion of human morality and the foundations of a healthy society. The destruction of age-old values, religion, and relations between people, up to and including the total rejection of family. All this was proclaimed progress, widely supported around the world back then, and was quite fashionable, same as today. Parent number one and parent number two, birthing parent instead of mother. I repeat, this is nothing new, and they made such a mess it still makes one shudder at times.
Okay,
President
Sam,
Putin says,
we can bring it down. BB9, this really is the synagogue of Satan, Bolshevik 2.0, problem, reaction, solution, and they are creating insane problems for us right now, are they not?
Yes, and you know, the theme that I keep seeing playing out from these people, that this whole belief system of communism is based in the Zapatean Francus movements of evil is more powerful than good, and there's only two cases when the Messiah will come back, is when everybody's totally evil or everybody's totally good. And so since everybody can't be totally good, we should all be totally evil, right? And so this is the madness of the Zapatean, you know, Kabbalistic system that communism is based upon. And then you get the whole Talmudic Noahide laws, you know, for the New World Order. But the other thing is that this follows Saul Alinsky's strategy of the first rule of community organizing is community disorganizing, except at the grand scale of, you know, we're going to have global thermonuclear war to reset the system, and then we'll bring in our fourth industrial revolution, right? And I don't know if you've been getting these, but I've been getting lots of these very high-end animation military scenarios of nuclear war with Russia all of a sudden. Have you been seeing these?
Yes, yes.
And yeah, it's like somebody's like, is this Rita Katz out there? Is this Sight and Memory putting these out? Because somebody's got some money doing these.
No kidding.
But, you know, so I just thought that was interesting that, you know, this whole thing of we have to destroy the existing world of civilization and goodness so we can bring in our new world order that aren't based on those moralities at all. That's what's so alien about these people, is they have a completely different mindset than we do.
Oh, well stated. And if you tie that observation of World War Trans by Cucker Tarlson and Greg Reese with the quote we played from the young, wide awake Canadian woman that this is not over. I mean, the Synagogue of Satan and the Great Reset World Economic Forum types, they're all in right now, aren't they? This is it for them. They're going for it.
Right, and it reminds me of what Alan Zabrowski said after 9/11. He says, you know, the Zionists are playing this as an all-or-nothing exercise. If they lose this one, they're done, right? And, you know, that's, you know, the chutzpah of it. You know, that's why they have their special word. And you think Unit 269 in Israel, their motto is, who dares win? So, you know, they are not going to back off of this. They just have to keep going because they've got nothing else. But the problem is they're going to continue taking lots of us out until they are stopped. But they're not going to have that Christmas morning change of heart all of a sudden go, oh, well, we decided to change our ways. You know, it's not going to happen.
That's what's so tragic about people, you know, white Europeans especially. We grew up, those of us a little older, in a very high trust society, a homogenous community, and too many of those people are still applying that trust, that decency, that cooperation model with evil, soulless, violent parasites who will only want your death. And so we're not fighting the war they're fighting, which is the greatest tragedy in my mind. Your thoughts?
Oh, that's one of the big, you know, aha moments of, you know, becoming awakened to this. The great noticing is, you know, that not everybody's playing the same game rules you are. Not everyone has the same in-game objectives that you have, right? And that's the big thing about all of the slime mold in the United States with dual citizenship. They are working towards a completely different end game than what we're supposed to be working for under our constitutional republic, right? And so by that, you know, definition alone, they should be held for treason, because, and if not treason, at least RICO charges, because it's organized meanness in the slime mold, you know, cells that are, you know, dragging us into all these wars for Israel and the greater Israel and the New World Order. And so, you know, people are waking up, but you realize just how much power these people have, but that they're working against you, not for you. You know, they might say they're a light upon nations and they're humanity's best friends and, you know, they're tikkun olaming the world, But, you know, part of that tikkun olam, fixing the world, means they got to get rid of Christianity, they got to get rid of white people, and then they've got to mass depopulate the planet to bring the numbers into what their magical books say the numbers are supposed to be.
A very dark magical book. Yeah, that's crazy. But I guess, you know, I still have faith in our version of humanity, that at some point, before it's too late, people will wake up, and I certainly pray daily that that will be the case. And we're coming up upon the break here shortly, and after the break, and please support republicbroadcasting.org and donate or purchase. So stay tuned, and after the break, we'll take your calls on the Sane Asylum on RBN and SFR.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart.
Welcome back to the final 30 minutes of the Sane Asylum Worldwide Simulcast on Republic Broadcasting and SpeakFreeRadio.com. And I chose that song intentionally, did I not, Blackbird 9? Because Billy Shears is going to be the topic of your special show this upcoming Wednesday. Why don't you tell everybody?
Yeah, Billy is here. I am a phony. Now, yes, Wacky Wednesday, 8 to 10. We have synchronicity. It just happens that Wacky Wednesday falls on the 9th of November. And so I've assembled a special roundtable to commemorate the 9th of November as we look back at the Paul is Dead conspiracy theory. And we have yourself and Dr. Fetzer and perhaps another gentleman that Dr. Fetzer's worked with. But we are going to be looking at the story of what happened in 1966 on November 11th. And, of course, the name of the show is going to be St. Paul and Sir Bill, Another 9/11. So, funny how all these things, once you realize that black magic of the 9/11 numbers with these people, you see that all these really weird things in history always kind of happen on these magical dates, and 9/11 is one of them. So true.
And yeah. You have another announcement. Producer Sam alerted me a couple hours earlier that it's now official, so you've got something cooking to do with a snack of some sort.
Yes, hot off the presses. I just got the same message as you. That's official, so we can go ahead and announce it. But I will be doing a simulcast with Republic Broadcasting and Speak Free Radio on Saturdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and it is going to be entitled Blackbird 9's Saturday Snack Shack. And so, okay, so it'll be at, I thought I did the correction right, so it'll be 7 to 8 Eastern, 7 to 8, thank you for correcting me, Mr. Producer, so 7 to 8 on Saturdays, so looking forward to it, and we'll have more as it develops, but be sure to tune in.
Oh, that's so exciting, and it couldn't happen to a better person. I mean, I rub elbows with royalty. We're coming up on the King of Sunday Night, Robert Ravolt and Incendiary Radio, and you are clearly the King of Wednesday Night. And so, and it won't be long. At the end of November, I'm giving up the Saturday show, which was never my show. I just kind of stepped in to help with the uncertainty, but I'm moving to Wednesdays with the Sane Asylum, which is fits my family schedule much better. So I'll be opening for you 6 to 8, and then you're 8 to 10 on Wednesday. So life is going to be good for everybody, I think.
Yes, looking forward to your new show. And I almost called in sick for this show because after listening to your show yesterday with those darn Schaefer kids, I was like, there's no way I can come even close to that quality. So I might have to call in sick. But that was just an awesome show. Yesterday afternoon. So tip of the hat to you and to Miss Monica Schaefer and to Mr. Alfred Schaefer.
What an honor. I have been tremendous admirers of theirs and supported their effort. They were both in prison for telling the truth. And I've always wanted to be able to interview them. And, you know, I had to wait my turn because people like the great Andrew Carnegie Hitchcock and the Fetch and John Friend, who's the other regular co-host tonight, others, they have been around a lot longer than I have, John Kaminsky. So I knew I would have to wait my turn. But boy, was that worth it. They are just truly superior human beings, and they're real heroes. And speaking of heroes, we're going to open up the phone lines now because you listeners are our heroes for tuning in and opening your minds to all this. So let me give out the call-in number, which is 512-248-8252, and say it thrice, they tell you, 512-248-8252. And our first caller is a regular to RBN, and we're glad he's calling us. Andy from Texas, welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, thanks, gentlemen. Hey, first and foremost, I hate to even say what I'm going to say because you guys are talking about a future. You were talking about future shows and stuff. It's, right. It's kind of scary. Do you guys know something I don't know? You know? No. Overall, I mean, looking at all this stuff, okay, first and foremost, if you're a congressman, what is your job? Okay, your job is to represent your constituents in your wherever you're representing, whatever. I don't pretend to even know this stuff, but it is their job to do that. So if it is their job to do that, then they should be able to tell their constituents what the hell is coming up, right? Or what the hell is going on?
Yes.
Do we have anyone running now or in Congress that's ever told you the exact truth that's going on? It's all a facade. So everybody who thinks that they're voting for something and they're going to get something out of the vote somehow, some way, if they're not telling you what you need to know, there's a digital currency coming, there's a carbon tax coming, and it's all Jewish, Rand. Yes, I'm going to just, there it is. Everybody hates to say that now. Somehow it's becoming taboo. I don't know. But no, they're at the head of it. They got kicked out of 109 countries. Get the hell out of here, you Jewish bankers, whatever. We're stuck on it. It's the Federal Reserve, and they own it. And give me the money, and I don't care who makes the laws. That's their rule. So having said that, we can't trust anything that's going on right now, and people are putting their trust into this red wave stuff. What if you don't get it? Look, everybody knows it should be a red wave. 90% of the people, even Democrats, know there should be a red wave. But the red wave was never going to be anything good, even if it made it. But if it doesn't make it, that's going to piss a lot of people off because everybody thinks there should be a red wave. A majority of people do. So they're ruffling for a civil war, which has always been their thing. They can't get black and white to hate people, but they're trying, and they're still trying. Over years and years, they've been trying. This whole thing is just a big ruse. Your entire life is a ruse. These people created this society before you even got here, and you had to find a way through it, and then you found out that it was screwed, and whew, now you're talking about it, and now they want to silence you because they don't want nobody to know the truth. And that's our problem. We have a big problem because the people did not pay attention. They seriously did not pay attention in their lives. They put too much trust in something they should have never had. I'll let you go. You guys got time for other callers.
Wow, Andy, what a brilliant soliloquy. Blackbird 9, your thoughts. I mean, he checked all the boxes.
Oh, thank you for the call. Great call. Nailed it. And I think that's one of the biggest lies of thinking that this current slime mold infested government, not only in the United States, but every Western nation that's been infected with this slime mold, you do not have a representative government of the people, by the people, for the people anymore. What you have is these young world global leaders trained by either AIPAC or the World Economic Forum. And so once they get the seat of power, they become policy managers to implement the progressive changes. They don't care what the people want. They've got an agenda to put in place. And that's the big change in American politics, especially, is people think that they're voting for somebody that's going to represent their interests. And that is not the case because we're so infiltrated. And then on top of just the infiltration is the compromise. How many of these people that are supposedly our leaders were going down to Jeffrey Epstein's island, right? So they're completely compromised by the Israeli Mossad and Unit 269, et cetera. So back to you.
Oh, great observations, Frederick. And we've got a lot of calls, so let's move right back on down to someone who is in a place I would love to live in, Mike in the Caribbean. How are you, Mike? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm living the dream, Giuseppe, living the dream.
That's awesome.
Thanks for taking my call. As far as forgive and forget, I mean, that's pretty funny and quite ironic because what are actually the four most important words to live by any good Jew? Certainly any Jew I've ever known growing up the most important motto they live by, never forgive, never forget.
Right. So, that's right.
I mean, but what an irony. I mean, so now I'm actually agreeing with the Jewish philosophy for the first time in my life. I actually believe that we should never forgive and never forget these people. So let's reverse the whole thing on them. So that's quite ironic there. But I also want to mention, like, as far as we know, we have a big problem with these people, right? But it's even bigger than we think, because the numbers I've always heard, like, that they're 2% of the U.S. population, and worldwide that they're 0.2%, which is like one out of every 500 people. But if you think about it, the numbers are, they're all about deception and infiltration, right? Like, we know how they so easily change their name just to make it in Hollywood, or you know, just to deceive the people and infiltrate so people don't even know who they are. So just think about all the, like, 109 countries, if that's the fact, that mm-hmm. just think about when the heat was on them in all these countries, how they all, probably half of them would have been changing their names at that point and just going to different European countries, going into England, taking, Anglo-Saxon names, right, or going into all different countries and just assuming names of people from those countries. And so they've actually, I mean, who knows how big their numbers really are, right? And they're, most of them are psychopaths, right? Most of the people that reached the high levels of, say, the British Parliament or different European countries, even royalty, just think most of them are psychopaths and Luciferians. And so probably a big percentage of them are actually Jews, you know, and we'll never have any way to quantify that or say what is the percentage of actual Jews. But look at, like, John Kerry, right? You know about his family history, right?
Right, that yes.
His grandparents, Frederick and Ida Cohen, right? How they threw a dart, the story is they threw a dart at an atlas, and it landed on Kerry in Ireland. So they changed the name to Kerry, right? Now, as a matter of fact, his great-grandfather was one of the most famous rabbis in Europe, comes from a prominent Jewish family, and he has a statue for him in Prague, apparently. But anyway, yep. So supposedly Kerry, this guy didn't know he was a chicken swinger until, 2004, when he was running for president and some researcher had to inform him of his family's history? I mean, give me a break. That's exactly. Probably like a whole syndrome. But just think how many people there are like that you'll never find out what they really are until they're running for president, you know, and until some scrutiny comes upon them. Madeleine Albright, that Jewish, demonic Jew, that, remember, she said it was worth it to sacrifice 500,000 children in Iraq.
Yep.
So she just found out she was a Jew at age 60, right? I mean, what a bunch of nonsense. So my point is just, I don't know what the number is, but they could be as much as 10% worldwide, if you really think about it. And just think about the ones that came to America, right? I mean, so many of them probably changed their names as they were coming to America. And how many Europeans that wanted to actually escape Europe to come to America would even be able to afford it, if you think about it? I'm just thinking, I mean, it's just a theory that's not provable or anything, but their numbers are so much higher. The level of infiltration is so deep, and not to mention the Donmed, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but the Sabbatean Jews in Turkey, right? That's where this Sabbatean guy was from, right? That's right. Where he was based, and they were, he was forced to renounce Judaism, and he was thought to be a Messiah, and he had millions of followers, and they all had no choice but to convert, and I put that word in quotes, And I mean, what happened to all them? They're still around. In fact, Wahab, who is I don't know much about his history, to be frank, but I know he's the Wahhabi religion is named after this Wahab, and the Saudi royal family. They're all Wahhabis. Wahab himself, and you can look it up. It's right there for anyone to see. He was a Don Meh himself. So he was an actual Jew that was forced to convert. I mean, their influence, I mean, it's bad enough when you think of the numbers that we've always heard, you know, 2% in the U.S.
Yes.
and 0.2%
yes.
in the rest of the world. That's bad enough. But, I mean, that's hard enough to overcome. But
well, Mike, you make a great point, and you've called into the right gentleman whose nine-layer model can validate everything you're saying. Frederick, what are your thoughts on Mike's observations that the 2% and 0.02% numbers may be way, way too low?
I agree. Just from what I see, and you know, invaded into Watauga County, North Kakalaki since 9/11, it seems we've got you know a complete you know infantry in here now of chicken slingers, and every southern city I talk to, you know, people there, it's like the same thing happened to us. It was like it was an organized movement or something. But you know, the idea of forgiveness, you know, getting back to your talking about forgiveness, is there is nothing about forgiveness in the Judean religion. I mean, it is from the days of Cain and Lamech, it has always been about revenge and total destruction of your enemies that will not be enslaved to you. But yeah, they love to do that pill pull mind meld or mind messing with you by making you live up to a different set of standards. And Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals says, you know, always make your enemy live up to its own book of rules. So you're Christians, y'all have to forgive us for, you know, mass murdering millions of you because, you know, that's your faith. And it's like, that doesn't work anymore. People are finally throwing it back to them when they try to guilt trip you and shame you on that. But yeah, I agree with you. I think their numbers are much larger than what they let on.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for the call. We have three other callers, so we're going to move on to Steve in Arizona. Steve, welcome, and what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. How you doing? My thing is, I heard you guys talking at the beginning of the show about this Paul McCartney thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that when I hear that kind of stuff, you know, that's where I start to get like, oh, no, you know, please, because then it's going to, I'll just be honest with you. I'll just think, you know, that is so ridiculous that then that's going to take away from things like 9/11, you know, the so-called conspiracies that are real, you know. And so, and then I started kind of looking into it a little bit, but I'll just get to the point. I was watching just a live YouTube of Paul McCartney and his 60s or 70s or something like that, not that long ago, performing, you know, doing Love Me Do. That was the Beatles' first hit record. I think it was just John and Paul, you know, going down and working with George Martin at whatever record company it was. And he was just talking, the little things that Paul knew about that recording session, that was, first of all, right at the time when the guy told him, you know, your drummer, Pete Best, isn't going to work out. You're going to have to find a different drummer. And that's when they got Ringo. But anyway, on this recording, he was just talking about, and Giuseppe, you would know this, but, you know, John played the harmonica on that song, mm-hmm. Love Me Do. That was their first hit. And so after I think it's the chorus or something like that, John was the one that was singing this sort of, I guess you'd call it the answer, you know, Love Me Do. But he couldn't do that and play the harmonica at the same time to do the little riff. So George Martin asked Paul to sing it. And he was just making a little kind of a joke about how he could still, when he hears that song, he can hear himself quivering because he was so nervous, you know, about being asked about that. And I just thought, see, those are the kinds of things that I would start to look into to think how there's no way that this guy could have known those kinds of things. Unless he had
That's a great point, know? Steve. And we get where you're going. And that's the whole point of the show on on this upcoming Wednesday on Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Speak Free Radio and the Spreaker Network, because I was skeptical, but there's so many interesting forensic aspects. For example, there were two PhD-level Italian forensic scientists who set out to debunk the Paul died and Billy Shears is replacement, or someone, William Shepard. And then they came around because all the forensic evidence, the ears are different. The ears are as unique as fingerprints. And I'll turn it over to Blackbird Nine now. So, I respect your healthy skepticism, but there's just a lot of compelling evidence that maybe something did happen. Go ahead, Blackbird.
Right. That was the whole point of how this started, as kind of a joke conversation while Giuseppe was in another show with a gentleman named Malefica Scott. And what we want to do is look at it. And my hypothesis is, once you get into this whole idea of Edward Bernays marketing and, perception manipulation, that the Beatles story does matter because it fits into the bigger picture of what they were trying to do. And, when you, especially if you go into the work of the mysterious I Am a Phony group, if you're familiar with them, you realize just how dark these, four happy mop top, youngsters from Liverpool, they were really into some really dark stuff, especially this guy who calls himself Paul McCartney. And so that's what we want to, delve into on Wednesday night. But you're absolutely right. That is one of those things that you bring up and people immediately, cognitive dissonance, is like, oh no, you're a nutter, I don't want to talk to you anymore, that kind of thing, and they shut down. And so that was, like you said, the whole point of the show was it came out of that kind of conversation. So thanks for the call.
Well, we'll move on, because we're running short on time, to Brian in Missouri. Brian, welcome. What's on your mind?
I wanted to point out real quick, because we don't have a lot of time, have you noticed that the quarter minute from 2020 on used to be that the face of George Washington, who I tell you was the lifetime of Christ, was facing towards where it says, "In God We Trust." But when Biden was elected, it's flipped around now, and now Washington is has his back to where it says, "In God and Trust" on the coin. So it's just more of their dark, it's that's black magic crap, just like a lot of the other stuff. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Go ahead, Frederick. I wasn't.
Yes, really, I know we're running short on time, but yes, I totally know what you mean. And they're messing with the currency like that in lots of different ways. And the same thing after 9/11, when they changed the U.S. flag on all the uniforms to be a mirror image of the American flag. And they said, oh, it's to symbolize charging forward, and the flag's blowing back. It's like, no, this is Kabbalistic black magic, kind of like when they inverted the pentagrams on the Republican GOP icons. Suddenly they're facing down now, and that's satanic black magic symbolism. So good call.
And people don't understand the 666. No one knows where that comes from. And can I tell you real quick?
Well, we're out of time. Brian, we'll call in next week and we'll revisit. Thanks, everybody. Stay tuned for the King of Sunday Night, Robert Raybould and Incendiary Radio. And tune in Wednesday for Blackbird Nine's excellent roundtable on Paul Is Fall Possibly. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Giuseppe.
Thank you, brother.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon.
OxySilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.